Okay, I have an announcement to make to a good number of my best friends. Okay, I'll be stepping down as president of Women Against Registry effective Saturday, May 13th. We kindly ask that you keep this, what you're learning here, within the group until the official announcement is made on Saturday. Okay. Some of you are aware of the fact that I've had a desire to do a slow pivot to the sentencing reform issue and prison reform issue. And you'll learn about that in a little bit. But it's a hard moment for me because it's been 12 years. Okay. And so I have two sons, Jason and Joshua. And I'm going to call on Jason right now, my older son, who's very supportive and involved in a lot of what's transpired in our lives in the last few years. So, Jason, where are you? I think he's on the second page. Can you find him?
Is it the same order for everybody? I see him at the bottom of page one.
Yeah, I don't think it is the same order for everybody.
There he is. There he is.
Red shirt, beard, glasses.
That's him. Okay. Unmute yourself, Jay. Oh, wait a minute. Can you say something?
Unmuted.
You should be unmuted. Can you say something, Jay? Chuck.
Yeah.
Why can't we hear him?
Well, he is unmuted.
Mm. Okay.
Might need to click on your audio right next to the mute button. There's a little arrow thing there. You click on that, and then you go into audio settings and make sure you have the correct microphone chosen and that your level set on that.
Okay. Are you finding everything, Jay, or not? Jason, we can't hear you. Okay, we can't hear you. Is there anything else we can do?
I've changed all my settings. Oh, I'm still getting that. Can you get me now?
Yeah.
Can now. Okay. So anyway.
Okay, guys. I changed all my settings. Everything was good. I tested this beforehand.
Okay.
it's very emotional for my mom and for me, as everybody else who's in here. This affects all of us and all of our lives to different degrees. But I'm happy for my mom that she is going to pivot. She's dedicated a lot of her time to being in, to running war. And just to give you a little bit about my brother, he was, you guys, I'm sure many people here probably could raise their hand, which actually I wouldn't mind seeing, the amount of people that have been harassed, that have had issues at work in their workplace, or they know somebody who's had an issue at workplace. Josh was threatened with words that were said from a boss, and being his big brother, and I apologize, guys, if I do get emotional. It is hard. It's hard. We all know that. But he was threatened multiple times at work. And of course, I'm cut from the same cloth as my mom, probably to a fault where I don't hold my tongue very much, and she holds her tongue better than I do. So that's one of the reasons I don't get too involved with some of this stuff, because I don't have the patience that she does. Josh, when the last case that happened with Josh happened, he just lost all interest in everything. He had to go to court. There was a restraining order that was filed against him to keep him away from his girlfriend, who they were very much in love. He was had a productive job. He was doing a lot with them and spending time with them. It was great for him. But when all that came down and came crashing down around him, you could see it just the happiness leave him, and his just kind of threw his hands up and said, I'm done. And it just kind of, for him, it just went from there, as many of you, I'm sure, have dealt with. And for me, it was hard to watch and sit on the sidelines and watch. And tell him time and time and again, I'm here, call me, what do you need? There's been a lot of issues with Josh's case that, of course, everybody here can say, I got screwed, or nobody listened to me, or they don't care, or they just wanted to make a big scene whenever there was something that happened, whatever happened. That was the case with Josh. That was a very difficult day for me, but I am grateful that my mom wasn't in St. Louis when that happened, and she was in Carolina, and I was glad that I was there, because it was just something that I don't want her to have. I didn't want her to have to be there to see it. I ask that everybody be supportive. This is hard for my mom. I know it's hard for her. There's many times where I go over to her house, or now her apartment, and there are tables set up in the living room. She doesn't have a living room anymore, with papers all over the place. But this is what she does. She jumps in, and she wants to make it right. So I'm happy for you, Mom. I love you. And thank you. I wish you the best. And I hope that whatever you go on to do, I know you'll be consulting, and I use that loosely, probably, with war, but I don't know what else really to say.
Thank you. Thank you. It's hard for both of us. I was in South Carolina when Josh had standoff with the FBI, threatened to kill himself. I was racing to try to get back here driving. He was standing between two buildings with all the news and the helicopters and all that overhead for 12 hours. And I drove for 16 to get back, not knowing what I was going to hear from him, or whatever. It was terrible. But anyway, we made it. The bad thing is that Josh is serving 29 years. And when you hear your son say, my mom will probably be dead when I get out, it's hard. So we're going to move on. And a part of the thing that was uncovered in all of this was that Josh was that he was molested by their father at the age of 6. That was brought out, and he never actually got the treatment he asked for. And that's part of the problem. People don't get treatment when they need it, when they ask for it. They get everything else but. So Josh lost everything. He lost the three things that he lost: his relationship, he lost a place to live because he had to move in with me, and he lost his job, lost his income. And so I will be, that's the reason that I am pivoting, is because I hope to be able to help him and to be able to help some others that have long sentences and prove how absurd this is. And we just throw people away. Okay. So the sentencing reform is one thing, because, you know, we're going to have to use data for that. And the prison reform right now, I think it's really volatile, you know, because the U.S. Senate has some issues, some bills out there that they're trying to fix some things there. So I have been interviewed by a lot. I'm reading part of this in case you can't figure that out. I've been interviewed by a variety of print media, television, journals, magazines. We were part of the 2015 documentary Untouchable. And then more recently, we had a scout with us at the conference in DC in March. And the scout was sent there by a producer, and he was there the day he was there a day and a half, and he walked up and shook my hand the last at lunch the second day, and said, this has been great. Yesterday was a long day, but I learned a lot. And he said, I called Ben and he's on his way. So the producer was coming in, and Anyway, so we had an hour-long meeting with our Senator Josh Hawley in a conference room with one of his people, and it was recorded. All of it was recorded. So we're grateful for that. Okay, so anyway, and then we were also instrumental, and then I'll move past all this. We were also instrumental in helping to get one of our former director's husband, who had been falsely accused in a divorce situation. We've all heard that before. And had been on the registry for years. We were able to get our outgoing governor, Parson, to sign an order and to relieve him of having to do all of that. And anyway, so he did sign that. We got it. And part of that reason is because we got it on the front cover of the Kansas City Star newspaper. So we've had our name out there for a while. Okay. We've been to conferences, we've displayed, we've done meet and greets at capitals, some of the capitals. So I've met some of my phone keeps dinging. I don't know if that's, you know, what that is. But anyway, I've met some of the most incredible people, and I've said that before, from across the states, all walks of life and all income levels. I mean, it's just amazing. And when people get baptized by fire, as I did, as I would imagine most of you did, then you have a whole new world and a whole new understanding of what justice doesn't look like. Okay, so anyway, so I'm not going to be leaving you guys. I'm going to be around for a while. I'll be in the background, but I will begin working on the other issues that are foremost in my mind now. And I think other people will benefit from what we can do there. So at this point, I am going to introduce you to our special guest. We reached out to Delta Maximum to conduct a nationwide hunt, so to speak, for a replacement. That spokesperson is Galen Bachman. Some of you know him or knew him already. Some of you met him at the conference in DC. Okay. So I'm going to introduce Megan Ebos as the new president of Women Against Registry. And I'm going to read you a bit about her bio, if you don't mind. And then I'm going to turn it over to her, and she'll go over a lot of things. Megan is co-founder and executive director of PERL, P-E-R-L. In 2003, at the age of 16, Megan was raped in Memphis. She reported her rape to law enforcement and submitted a forensic exam, but law enforcement did not investigate the case or test her rape kit until over 9 years later. Megan strategically used her mishandled rape case to raise awareness about needed policy changes. In the course of this work, Megan further exposed over 12,000 untested rape kits in MPD, Memphis Police Department storage, in 2013 and 14. Over the Memphis mayor's objection, Megan successfully persuaded the Memphis City Council to allocate over $3 million of its own tax revenue to cover the cost for investigating thousands of previously ignored rape cases connected to untested kits. In 2015, Megan and a group of lawyers and community organizers formed PERL, which advocates for criminal justice reform and provides the community's only peer support for people who have experienced sexual violence. She is also a contributing writer to The Appeal. Some of you get those. I get them on my computer. Part of the Harvard University School of Law's Fair Punishment Project, Megan holds a BA in English from Rhodes College and a Juris Doctorate from Mississippi, University of Mississippi. So with that, I will introduce Megan, and she can tell you more about herself. Megan?
Hey, is this working?
Oh, there you are in the center. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Vicki. I don't know how I can follow Vicky. That's going to be a hard act to follow. Thank you to everyone who's watching for letting me be here today. I think this is the most important thing I've ever done. Right off the bat, I know my background might catch some people off guard a little bit because I am known as a rape victim and my rape case has been in the news. And a lot of times people who have been raped are on the law enforcement side of things and are very dehumanizing towards people who committed harms and people who are on the registry. And I hope to not be like that. I hope to use my platform as a victim of rape that was mishandled by the police to further put the registry into the context of being a law enforcement scam, kind of, to use my position and my experience to insist that this no longer be done in the name of victims. We see that being the fallback when no other there's no other evidence to support a registry, but then the fallback is always that it is for victims or it protects victims. And in reality, as everyone here knows, it does not protect anyone. It only causes harm. It's an extreme human rights abuse. It places way too much power in the hands of law enforcement when people are trying to negotiate plea deals or have trials. And I want to use my skills PR-wise to help frame narratives and build a consensus that the sex offender registry is the barbaric atrocity and scam that it is. I'm very, very grateful to be here with you guys. I'm kind of emotional right now after listening to Vicky. And I've never been arrested, and I've never been incarcerated, so I want to recognize that I do have that level of privilege, and I am not directly impacted by the sex offender registry. At the same time, I feel that I and we all are impacted by the poor priorities of law enforcement and the poor understanding that the general public has about what law enforcement does. So with that, I want to give everyone here or anyone a chance to ask me any questions.
Okay, and anyone who wants to ask questions, go down to the bottom of your screen where it says reactions, click on that and then click on raise hand. All right, looks like we've got a couple.
Am I supposed to click on them or?
You can.
Was she or were one of us, Chuck?
Okay, I'll unmute Eric here.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hey, Megan, I was curious, where are you physically located?
I'm in Memphis.
Okay. Kind of in past years, war has been kind of two things. It seems to be sort of a national entity and also sort of a Missouri specific entity. I'm kind of guessing with you coming on board, you're looking to more expand to the national side. Is that right?
I think some other people would be better suited to answer that than I am.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. You're just coming aboard. Thank you.
Okay. Next we have. I think Guy, go ahead.
No, I'm on mute. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
I just wanted to chime in to just say one, Vicky, I know that you're moving on to other things and you'll still be around, but Megan, I just wanted to say again, congratulations. And I just thought I might chime in just to tell people that, of course, I'm directly impacted. I'm an attorney as of about 6 weeks or so ago. And I've, worked with Megan in the past on issues related to the registry. And I just wanted to say that her work has been really instrumental in my own understanding of ways in which the registry is harmful for survivors of sexual violence, because it really just, you know, as she sort of pointed out, it, you know, really just gives police an enormous amount of power to, and they essentially do nothing with it. It's just harmful all the way around. And it really showed me the ways in which survivors of sexual violence are benefited by this work as well. So I think it's an outstanding choice. And I'm just hoping I can reassure, you know, because like Megan said, her, you know, she comes at this from a different perspective, but she has been very instrumental in my own understanding of the ways in which this advocacy can really work. And so I just, again, I want to try to put people, I don't know, at ease, if that's the right term. And just to again say congratulations. I really look forward to see what you do.
Thank you so much.
All right. We've got Larry. Go ahead, Larry.
Oops. Where'd he go?
I'm going to unmute Larry. Go ahead, Larry.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Larry.
Okay. Okay, great. My question for Megan is, knowing that it's taking this position in war, it could be hard and emotional. Can you inform us in your own opinion or however, tell us how are you able to tell police and families of victims of sexual violence of why and how the sex offender registry should be abolished?
You just cut out when in the middle of your question.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll ask again. Knowing that the taking the position of war president is going to be hard and emotional, can you please tell us all of how you're going to be able to tell the police as well as families of sexual violence why and how the sex offender registry should be abolished?
Thank you. I've been doing not exactly that, but something like that for many years now. As I have educated the public and the families of people who have survived sexual violence, that the police were the responsible parties in failing to investigate rape cases and perpetuating harm. And I've also done that advocacy directly toward the police and to them. And I think I've been successful with that, also doing it through public and the media, to the point where locally, I really, not to pat myself on the back too much, but I think the coverage of the Memphis Police Department has changed because of my efforts, just in that the news is a little bit more skeptical when they when the police make claims about rape or about victims now. And I would like to do that more on a national level. And I think that it's possible to do that with the registry by simply showing that it doesn't prevent harm. It only affirmatively causes harm. And it is, you know, a significant human rights violation, way too much power for law enforcement, destructive of families and communities. I don't think that there's any way that someone could make an actual strong argument for the sex offender registry that's based on evidence rather than just hyperbole and emotion. So I think that I'm well suited to do that. And thank you for that question.
All right. Next, looks like Joanne. I'm going to unmute Joanne.
Hi. First of all, I want to thank Vicki. I'm really new to this organization, but she welcomed me and, you know, brought me in a way that was so warm and reassuring. And I know from others how long and hard this road has been for her. I did watch the documentary, and I attended the conference, and I know she really busted her buns on that conference. So thank you, Vicki. And I want to welcome Megan. I think it is really, really strong to have a victim be an advocate to get rid of the registry. So my question is, and it was a little bit like the first question, like the national approach versus the state approach, because, you know, in various states, all of a sudden, really bad legislation pops up. And for example, in Missouri, all of a sudden here in the you know, the very end of the session, which will be ending Friday, a bill was passed in the House that would basically codify a terrible decision by the Missouri Supreme Court that said that the three-tier system does not apply to federal folks with federal charges, which was a bad and wrong decision, in my opinion. And this bill would codify it. I think that we're okay because it's been shoved into a bigger, more complicated bill that the Senate's not looking at the moment. But I'm just wondering, you know, are you thinking in terms of maybe different states, a task force with representatives from different states, or maybe a quick reaction task force for really bad legislation that pops up? I guess that's my question. My focus is on legislation.
Yes. Thank you for your nice words too. Yes, I would think that would be very important. I'm working with some other really talented people and Vicky still. But I would think that would be very important. And with legislation being different from state to state and then the federal level, there would definitely be a need for individualized groups within this group. And also what you just said reminded me of one of the focuses that I want to bring to this group is training more people who are directly impacted to be able to advocate for themselves in a way that is, first of all, safe legally for them, but also in a way that will be productive and powerful. And that's a lot to ask of people who are directly impacted, I know. But I would really like this organization to provide communications training and advocacy training and how to interact with lawmakers, how to interact with local news, press releases, op-eds. And we will also need to do that specific to certain states. And so I'm focusing on building the capacity of the group, the organization, so that it can have the capacity to do much, much more.
If I can just jump in and say something. One of our drawbacks is, well, we're known as being the smallest organization, and we didn't have a lot of money coming in. And so that's one thing that is going to transpire with Galen and his process of bringing in and getting grants and bringing in money. So there'll be more there. And WAR is a national organization, and Megan is just coming on board and trying to get, you know, her feet on the ground and everything. But there will be a national approach, yes, and there will be action. But it's not going to be incrementalism, and it's going to be abolishment, and that's pretty much it, just like it's always been. So, you know, can't dance with legislators. So anyway, Megan, sorry, I just wanted to jump in there because I know somebody brought up money and, or not money, but expansion.
Yes, thank you. I want to bring more money to the organization so it can expand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody? Oh, Chuck.
We've got John.
John Sarna.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Megan, good evening. I'm John. I'm just down the road a little piece from you in the Little Rock area.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, I'm hoping that maybe at some point we can try to get together and hash out a few things in more detail. I'm as much out of curiosity as anything else. Well, before going there, I guess you could say I represent maybe the segment of people who were falsely accused and wound up on the registry, but that's another story for another time. In working with various groups, various individuals, who wind up on the registry and the collateral damage that's done to their families, I'm curious as to your entertaining the possibilities, maybe doing the research into it first, but entertaining the possibilities, first of all, about doing more to address diversity within the WAR ranks, within really the ranks of people who are fighting for the changes within sexual offense laws and getting rid of the registry, all of that. there was an unflattering description of another group that their leadership board looked too much like the Republican National Committee. So the lack of diversity is one issue, one area that I know a lot of people are concerned about. And another one about looking into, again, doing the research first, and then maybe as a group approaching various other criminal justice organizations. I can think of Decarcerate. I can think of Dream.org, just to name two of them. If this would be something that that WAR would be open to the possibilities of doing as you get your feet wet, so to speak, as you get more and more into what WAR is all about, what you're doing with WAR.
Is that for me?
Yes.
Yes, I think we always need to be paying attention to the representation of our organization and the diversity. On the second point, yes, of course, I hope that we can collaborate with other groups. At the same time, like Vicky said, I don't think that we should accept incrementalism. And if we are trying to be part of some kind of broad criminal justice reform coalition that will not advocate to abolish the sex offender registry now, then we don't want our voices to go unheard in a situation like that. So it's
go ahead.
Yeah, it's a delicate thing, but there are a lot of people in the organization who are talented and smart and understand how to navigate that I'll be deferring to and learning from.
And there will be diversity among the board, right? That I think that's where John was going. Where'd he go?
Yeah, he's been muted, but
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next, we have Terry. I'm going to unmute Terry. Go ahead, Terry.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Cool. First off, Vicky, thanks for all you've done. I've been around for a minute, and you've always been very, very strong and very hardcore leaders. Thank you. And then Megan, also, I am right down the road in Columbia, Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
So here's my question. So I was involved in a sting operation in 2017 in Brentwood. Seems to me that the word is not getting out about these sting operations, and these sting operations are a way to put people on the list, more and more and more people on the list, year by year, month by month. It's going on. It's getting worse.
That exactly is happening in Memphis also.
Obviously. It's getting so much worse. I belong to another group as well. And for a long time, I've been preaching, we've got to get this to the masses. We've got to get the word out what's happening with these sting operations, the families that are being ruined, the lives that are being ruined. Lost everything. I lost everything. Everything. If it wasn't for my parents, I would have nothing.
I'm so sorry. Thank you for sharing that. It's just that absolutely unforgivable that happened to you.
Well, my question is, can we be a voice for something like that as well? Because I feel like if we don't get the voice to the masses, the people are just going to keep picturing, you know, the sex offender registry as a bunch of monsters.
Absolutely. Terry, absolutely not. I hope that you and I can maybe connect more about this, because that's exactly the type of thing that I want to raise public awareness in the right way about.
Because it's evil, and it's taking over, and it's ruining so many lives. I mean, yes. You know, I'm okay where I'm at. I'm okay. I lost everything. I don't have much freedom. You know, I didn't go to prison like 99.9% of the people do. I had a very, very expensive and good lawyer. But I did end up on the registry for 8 years probation, which I just crossed over the halfway mark. And then once I get off probation, I have 10 more years on the list. So 18 years on the list.
We need to focus on exactly the points that you're making, in my opinion.
Cool. Yes. I appreciate that.
Please reach out to me. I would love to talk to you more.
All right. Let's see. Who do we have next? We have Ann is next. Go ahead, Ann.
Hey, Megan, I was just wondering, this may not be especially important to registry, but did you have any success? You finally, after 9 years, got them to test your rape kit, and then you got them to spend $3 million to test a bunch of other rape kits. did any of those RIT kits lend success? Did anybody get caught because of that, or how did that end up?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. Yeah, they prosecuted some people. I guess a lot of people, maybe it depends on who you ask how many they prosecuted, and they're not being transparent at all. They've probably exonerated a lot more people and are not telling anyone. But yes, my rapist was prosecuted, or who I am told was my rapist, who really knows, but I have very few details, but some rapists were prosecuted, not fairly in my opinion, and a lot of times because the police neglected to investigate at the time, and then all they have 20 years later is a DNA test that supposedly says that the person raped, you know. There's a lot of issues there. There's a lot of fairness issues, and so I don't really feel comfortable talking about that like in a positive way anymore, because it's still very sick and very much still ongoing. But yeah, my rapist was supposedly caught, and so he's in prison for the rest of his life in Tennessee.
Yeah, it's really something. The thing that hits me the hardest, I'm a survivor of sexual abuse from my childhood, and in my family, on my mom's side of the family, it's like everybody knew that grandpa, you know, wasn't safe with people's kids, and uncle so-and-so, don't leave your kids with that guy, and my cousin, you know, and none of those people ever served any time, because I think within my family, people knew that putting them in jail isn't going to fix anything. Wow. And the, you know, this abuse within that family, you know, everybody who was doing the abuse had been abused. It's a cycle. And so, you know, for me, it feels like, you know, when the stats are pretty clear that 95% of abuse happens with people someone knows, but we don't actually want to put the people we know and love in jail. So instead, we, you know, make the 3% or 5% of people who are on the registry pay for the sins of everyone else, that we're like mad about it, but we know that putting them in jail doesn't do any good. And so it's a really messed up system.
Having served time, one of the catchphrases is we built these prisons for people we were scared of, and we filled them with people we are mad at.
Yes. Yeah. And that's even true of my supposed rapist, who is a supposed serial rapist. Like, you know, maybe he is, but he was, you know, totally crucified when they finally caught him, but they allowed him to rape like probably at least 10, probably many, many more people in the meantime. Yeah. And then
and really what he probably needed was help.
Yeah, yeah. And crucified him when they finally decided to prosecute him and gave him like a crazy sentence. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. But your point also reminded me of this is another reason that the registry is so absurd, because of course, you know, abuse is going on within families, and the registry is not going to prevent that. That, you know, that is one of the most prevalent ways that abuse is perpetrated, and the registry does zero. Okay. Thank you for sharing and for that question, though.
All right. We've got, let's see. Okay. I guess I need to change something here. See, I think Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, Vicky, obviously, for all you've done over those years. I'm a returned citizen who's on the registry, and I also am involved with a nonprofit that does helps people who are on the registry deal with things like homelessness and job loss and all the emotional turmoil, the financial issues, the impositions of law enforcement, the lack of ability to get an Airbnb or to even take a cruise on a ship to the Bahamas, or, you know, I mean, there's just so many things in this cascade of collateral consequences. I really appreciate what you said, Megan, your honesty, your lived experience, and your unique take on things, I think could be a great asset to helping in this way. My question is, I'm an older person and you're a bit younger. I don't mean to emphasize that only, but do you have a sense of whether your generation is more interested in, sympathetic to the changes that you propose, that we propose? Thank you.
Thank you for that question. And it sounds like you're doing amazing work, so I'm really excited to connect with you in the future. That's really hard to gauge for me, but I think that my generation is somewhat willing to look at the fact that if law enforcement is claiming one thing and the evidence doesn't support that, that maybe the law enforcement is not credible. And I think maybe that's more than can be said for other generations. So I think there could be an opportunity there. And I think even more so for the younger generation.
All right, we've got Brandon. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah.
I can't hear.
For many years you...
Sounds like Brandon does not have a good connection.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Now we can.
Okay, sorry about that. As I was saying, I wanted to thank Vicki Henry for everything she's done for the board and for all the family members that are impacted by the sex offenders registries. I want to thank her for everything she's done for us for the many years that she's been on the board. And Megan, I want to thank you for becoming the new president. Has some questions, being sexually abused as a child and now being on the sex offenders registry because I was falsely accused of a crime I did commit, is if we can maybe get a bill passed to where it specifically states that judges or the judicial system doesn't. Number two, I wanted to ask, see if we can maybe propose a bill to situate that.
Hey, Brandon, your signal is really bad and we're having a lot of trouble hearing what you're saying. So I'm gonna mute you for now and maybe you can find a place with a little better signal and raise your hand again.
I've known me.
All right, and I guess he couldn't hear me. All right, let's go on here to Sandy. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hold on. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, Vicki, I wish I could have made the conference. I really do. My husband, I am picking him up from prison Thursday morning, and I'm so excited to get him home. Yeah. And I came to realize while he was gone, I'm doing everything myself. I'm running our business. I'm taking care of the home. So I wish I could have known you sooner. You know, I'm glad I never had a reason to. because I would have been a big help. And on that note, Megan, welcome. And thank you for jumping on board here. This is a really important thing for all of us. And I just want to say my husband's going to be home in 2 days. I took one of those Briggs Stratton tests and it said I'm an advocate. So I'm going to be an advocate. And now that he's home, I'm going to have time to help this because it needs to stop. And I just want to say, you know, you're going to have my email address. If there's anything I can do from Bend, Oregon, you know, I am all for it. In fact, I was just thinking, you know, I could start a support group here for people on the registry or families of people.
Yes, that is a great way to mobilize people.
Yes, it is. It is. You know, it's hard to tell your story because, especially in a small town, because all the bad shit's going to come up. Excuse my French. Well, you know, people are going to go, oh yeah, but he did this and he did that, not knowing the truth of the story, because, you know, as we know, the justice system doesn't care about the truth.
No.
So, you know, it's a little hard, but if I can connect with other people who are going through what we're going to be going through, and we can all work together, I'm here for you.
Yeah, maybe it could be a virtual support group, so that could be a little bit more secure. But
yeah, whatever. Yeah. I mean,
I would love to connect with you more. Thank you for sharing, and I'm so happy your husband's coming home soon.
Oh, I can't even tell you.
I know.
Now it's like, is this going to be worse than what I just went through for 2.5 years? I don't know, but we'll make it through, and we'll be our own advocates.
Yes. Thank you so much. I look forward to talking more.
All right. So next we have Kevin. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, good evening, everybody. I'm Kevin. Wow, I'm impressed, you know, being here. It's the first time at this meeting and group, and I've spoken with Galen before, and Megan, congratulations. You know, it's a huge undertaking. My background is media. You know, I was in TV when I got arrested in 2016. They utilized that to the best of their ability. And, you know, even being off the registry, it doesn't matter. It's, of course, all over the internet. And that's just part of, you know, this whole entire thing. My kids live abroad, so I've traveled, even on probation in the past, internationally. But, I mean, the fiasco that this causes, the pain it causes, is long-term damage. So I've told Galen and talked with him a bit about media. And am happy to offer whatever service that I can. You know, Megan, you're very well spoken. I think the message is so critical, how it's formulated, especially on television, because this is not something, and I told Vicky this when I met with or talked with her online and Galen, that as a public registry, as it is here in Connecticut, and certainly in Georgia, right? Going on television, when I used to be on TV, I talked about nothing controversial, about commodities, about politics, and I would still get death threats. And I mean, with this topic, as someone who's on the registry in Georgia for life, in Connecticut, I wouldn't even be on it. That's the ironic system we have, that, you know, I don't feel safe at all talking about this subject. And I think, and Megan, congratulations again, you being able to speak as a victim, but also someone who's against the registry because of the harm it does and because of the uselessness that it is extremely powerful if it's crafted in a certain way. Because, you know, with my experience in TV, it's a challenge. So I look forward to offering whatever I can as advice or training or anything I can do. I was on probation up till April 9th for almost 7 years out of Georgia. And in a county where the prosecutor is going to prison for 6 years because of her activity. So now I feel free to participate, and I've never been here before. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your comments. Galen, I think, has told me a little bit more, a little bit about you, talking with you. Yeah, that your comment reminds me again of the privilege that I have, because I can openly start a support group and go on TV and talk about my experience as a rape victim. And I do have some crazy, well, cops basically, who are like, send me messages online and are like, well, if you don't like it, you can move, or, you know, what did you expect, the whatever. But it's totally different. And people on the registry don't, you know, you are probably the most stigmatized group of all. And that's completely unacceptable. And it's so much of it is due to public misunderstanding. And so I hope I can do all that I can do to correct some of these misunderstandings and build consensus around facts.
All right. Looks like next we have John. John, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Did that do it?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Hi.
Vicky, thanks a million. You've bailed me out several times when I thought bad things were happening, which they were. So, Megan, welcome. I'd just like to say a couple things. And I don't want to discourage you, but this is an enormous problem. And those of us who have been on the registry can get burnt out, and if you work in your capacity, even more so. I just wanted to alert you to one thing, that there are things we haven't gone into before, but I'm going to say in about 10 seconds. Kansas City has a shootout at the OK Corral. There is the brother of a celebrity who wrongly forced a kiss on a female who was 40. The brother is 22. Well, Johnson County, Kansas, being what it is, they're trying to get him up for 55 years, and it's flying so far. I just want you to be aware of the context, and these folks have no concern about the consequences, and so I think that falls on other shoulders. That's really, just be aware of that, I mean, you're going to be hearing about it. And best of luck, Megan. Any way I can help, I'd be glad to, and I'm sure these other folks would too.
Thank you. Thank you for having your bird in the picture also.
Well, I tell you what, I have to be careful what I say. I discovered yesterday that she does a monologue, which is everything I said. So I have to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I look forward to talking more.
Hey, Chuck, I'm going to jump in just a minute if it's okay. Speaking of, you know, things that happen or how they take your advocacy, right? There was a group of TikTokers, and I think Megan is going to be familiar with this. There was a group of TikTokers that thought that Brock Turner's mother ran war. And I mean, oh my gosh, they went after me, something terrible, my son, something terrible, threatened to come to my house, got me memorialized on Facebook. I'm deceased, just in case you're, and Facebook can't seem to get it fixed.
Wow, so, thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm like naive in saying this, but I kind of look forward to things like that happening to me because then I'll publicize it more and get our message out more.
Yeah, good, good, yeah.
I hope stuff like that happens to me, TBH.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we found out where the lady lives, or lady, the female lives that started all this. So she's in New York.
Well, imagine how powerful that would be if these psychos who hate people on the registry tried to attack me, a rape victim. Mm-hmm. I would be all over with that.
Mm-hmm. So, good. Yeah.
Yeah. I welcome anything like that because it's an opportunity as long as I'm not dead, which I don't, I'm fine. So
mm-hmm. Good.
Okay.
Okay. Next. I don't know how to pronounce Hermione. Okay.
Just say Emmy.
Huh? Emmy. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Emmy.
Hi.
Hi.
First, I just want to thank Vicky for everything you've done, Vicky. You're the bomb. Mm-hmm. Thank you for starting this organization. It's helped so many people. And of course, we're going to still keep in touch.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I want to welcome Megan, because you are going to have a lot of work ahead of you. And it's great to have somebody like you, because it'll be amazing, because somebody that's been a victim to represent this organization, that's going to be so awesome. And I'm wishing you luck, and any way we can help, we're here.
Thank you so much.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next is Anne.
Anne Smith.
Mm-hmm. Hi. A lot of things, but you know, I'm always a little bit unsure in this group if it's only about the registry, because this issue has so many facets. And for me, my son being only 5.5 years into 25 years of outrageously over-sentencing, you know, the registry's a lifetime away. In fact, most likely, Vicky, like you, not in my lifetime, which I can barely utter. But my question is, Megan, in your unique perspective, one of the things that drives my son crazy is so believing that if he could have contact with his victim, because they were very much in love for a year, except she was the wrong age, that she would never want this punishment to have gone to this extent. But of course, he's never allowed to have contact with her for the rest of his life. And her family has really seen this as an opportunity to sue for $30 million. Yeah. So I just wonder, Megan, given your unique perspective, if you have any intentions of encouraging the dialogue that's suggested and encouraged in restorative justice, which is particularly with sex offenses, would be really life-changing.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's a very interesting question, because I think that that's what you mentioned is kind of a common situation with these matters, where the quote-unquote victim is not really the one who's driving things. It's like a third party, like maybe their family who is pushing them to do it. So yeah, that's such a hard situation. And then he, you know, there's all kinds of legal consequences that would come with anything that he does or says. So I don't know if any kind of alternative systems are available. I don't really know that much about restorative justice, to be honest. But if there's a large constituency who would like to use this organization to organize around something like that, I think that that's something that should be encouraged and supported.
Well, you're actually one half of the restorative justice model, because you're talking about your side of the event. Your offender is not.
He's not, and I gain zero from him being in prison. You know, I don't have quote unquote justice from that.
Would you like to have that conversation with him?
I do think so. And I know some of his other victims also really want to have that conversation with him. I think he might be someone who has been hurt so much that it may not be possible for him to recognize the harm that he's done or to take responsibility for it. But of course, I'm curious. Like, I have so many unanswered questions. Of course, I would like to talk to him. But I think you raise a critical point too, the fact that the punitive system that we have right now does not achieve justice for anyone. And I think that we can use that in our messaging. We can all use that as advocates.
And another thing is that we don't treat the root cause, like of his behavior or whatever. We just throw people away.
No, yeah. No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next?
Tracy.
Oh, okay. Tracy, go ahead.
Hi, Tracy. I've been attending these meetings with Vicky for quite some time, but it's been a while since I've attended. And this is the first meeting. It feels bittersweet to me because I did not realize that Vicky is going to be stepping down. And I know she's done a lot, you know, for all those years she's been as the president, and I wish I would have had an opportunity to get to know more and have done more to contribute as an advocate. And I wish her the best, and I hope, you know, that we keep in touch, and that she, I wish her the best on her new journey. But I also would like to welcome you too, Megan, as
a new
president. And I think you are going to be awesome. And what I really feel that, you know, you admired me, because despite being a victim, you're actually an advocate for change. And I think, you know, with your perspective on this, hopefully we'll educate other victims to have a change of attitude on change in this, you know, this twisted law on how they treat sex crimes. Because they don't. It's ironic how the wrong people are on the registry. They're not all monsters. And, you know, the victim, how you got victimized, the same criminals, I mean, on a registry, are not all on there that the same type that have you affected your life.
Yes, no.
For the most petty reasons, they're on the registry.
No, and like my rapist is in prison, and he's never going to be on a registry because he's never getting out of prison. It's just...
And the ones that are the most violent, ironically, are the ones that are out there that don't even get caught. And
yes.
The ones that are on the registry are the ones that probably haven't even touched a soul and hurt a fly.
Yes, yes, and I think my case illustrates that.
And hopefully, you know, the public will be eventually convinced by your example, you know, and I want to just continue being involved. I have not been, you know, I'm not a registrant. I have, you know, been abused, you know, as an acquaintance, rape, whack, you know, when I was a teenager, but it wasn't anything that impacted me significantly. And I didn't know anything about these laws back in the 80s, but I mean, there's been other ways I've been abused, and I know how it feels when people are pariahs of society. And I am an advocate of criminal justice reform, and I'm anti-registry. And I just want to be part of this whole thing. And this is why I inquired about war in the first place. And that's how I met Vicki. And I just have an open heart for everybody. I don't judge, you know. And congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to connecting with you more. Thank you so much for your comments and for sharing.
All right. We have Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Hey, at first I wanted to say, so I just recently sort of joined the group, probably, I don't know, three months ago. So I'm familiar with all the phases that it's gone through and all the hard work that Vicki has done. But, I can tell that a lot of people appreciate and believe in everything that she had done, and she deserves countless recognition for forming this beautiful group and getting all these people together. I'm from the New England area, so I'm not familiar with the circumstance that her son is unfortunately involved in. But I can tell that her other son is very passionate. He's a beautiful person. He cares. I think the two of you are blessed in a sense to, have each other to sort of work through, and family's always more important than anything. So, go do what you got to do. And, the community will still be here and whatnot. A quick sort of situation from my background is, and I don't mean to drag everyone's, or at least my particular scenario or my situation. I'm very much a juvenile justice reform advocate. I was sort of involved in a Romeo and Juliet high school situation close to 20 years ago. I actually was to be on the sex offender registry, both from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and under federal law. I was my age and my victim, girlfriend at the time, were protected, and the federal law protected us and whatnot. And a decade later, my situation involved a different state misinterpreting federal law. So my background is sort of contextually a little bit different, because I agree that all these, these groups need to have individual sort of satellite franchises in every different state. But what I've sort of been able to interpret is that the federal government has what we know is the Adam Walsh Act, the Adam Walsh Child Protective Safety Act. And that is sort of the backbone for what the sex offender registry is. And states are then forced to implement that into their state's general law in order to receive these sort of federal law enforcement grant funds. It's called the Edward Bryan Grant Assistant Funds. It's the federal government giving states money to fund law enforcement agencies. And obviously, if you fight an issue in, say, Kansas City, or you fight an issue in Tennessee, ultimately, it's, you really need to fight this in Washington, because the registry, the Adam Walsh Act, all the provisions to it, the things that you can't do, the travel restrictions, the international Megan's Law, the Jacob Wetterling Act that was phased out to be replaced by the Adam Walsh Act. Where I sort of fit in is, for one, juvenile justice reform. Putting kids as early as 10 years old on sex offender registries. It's not fair. I've testified multiple times in front of the Senate Judiciary in Massachusetts. Like I said, the reason why I got dragged back into this is because a state misinterpreted federal law and actually inadvertently put me on the sex offender registry. And they did so for almost a decade. And I challenged it at the highest court. I got it vacated. I got a judge to apologize for the whole situation. It was a complete misunderstanding, and it robbed me of almost a decade of my life. And my situation, I don't want to deteriorate from other people's situations, because everyone is unique and everything, but I've been told by very high-ranking attorneys, law enforcement, that what my situation yielded when I was put onto the registry inadvertently was, I'm very much a victim too. And where I'm coming from is, I think the right approach is bringing someone like Megan on board, because when you have these different angles of where people came from and you know, what happened. I mean, I was on the registry. I know what is like to be on the registry. I know what the harassment's like. I know what the surveillance checks when they come into your work. I know what the being pulled over and questioned about stuff. I get it. I live that life. It's not fair. It's not fun. It's horrible. It makes you want to just end it. I've had friends commit suicide. Like I get everything behind it. And I had faith, and you have to believe that one day a situation is going to get fixed, and one day people are going to, you know, realize things. And one day, and this, it all starts with advocating. That's what it really starts with. I'm more into the juvenile justice reform. Now, like I said, in Massachusetts, they're starting to see a lot of numbers arise. Now, obviously, I was out of the game. I used to write my college essays back in 2004 when I was in college. I would write them on should kids be on sex offender registries, because Massachusetts law was Westminster statutes from England that came over. And the law basically, the fundamental was, it was the father's unquestioned right to his daughter's virginity. And she, like her mother, was chattel. They were property. And if anyone took his daughter's virginity, he could have them hung like a horse in the center of town. That's actually, if you read the definitions of it, that's where these laws came from, was ownership over age of consent. You know, a female being 16 years old or 15 and a half or four, whatever the age of consent in different states are. That's the background where it comes from. Now, my angle is from that. You know, obviously there's different reasons why people are on sex offender registries. Mine was a Romeo and Juliet sort of a situation. I was in high school. We were both in high school. And so my approach is really advocating for the kids in that position, because when I was in that position, I had attorneys, court-appointed attorneys. I was scared to death. They wanted me to put me in jail for 60 years or whatever it was, sex offender registry, ankle bracelet monitoring. I didn't know what that, like, I was so scared about my future and not having any male guidance in my life. And I was so threatened. And I was so grateful when I actually relieved, because the Adam Walsh Act had provisions that protected me. And I was relieved and I was grateful that I was, you know, that I wasn't going to have to live that life. And then, like I said, you know, years later, I was forced to live it or go to jail for whatever violation of not, what's it called? If a sex offender moves to a different state and doesn't tell that state he's a sex offender, they can federally arrest you for failure to register. And that's like 10 years in jail. So I guess, and I'm sorry to sort of babble on here, but I think the right approach here is to have people sort of attacking this from different angles with different stories. And it resonates. I think it's just better. And I think it's important that people get out there and talk about it. And like I said, I kind of skipped over sort of briefly, but me being out of this sort of for a long time while I was on the registry and dealing with sort of my troubles and tribulations, and now I'm like, enough is enough. We got to stand up for these kids. We got to stand up for these rights. They're starting to realize that demographic in Massachusetts is changing. You have a lot of kids that are transgender. You have a lot of kids that are, you know, gay, lesbian, straight, black, white, whatever their preferences are. And ultimately what they're seeing is the parents aren't coinciding with the relationships. They might be against the fact that their son is dating a boy or something like that. And they're starting to see these numbers rise. And as kids, you know, in junior high school and in high school start to have sex at an earlier age, and they start to, with media and music and entertainment and clothing and everything that collectively goes along with it, the 16-year-old of today is not like the 16-year-old of, you know, 30 years ago or 40 years ago. You know, these kids are making wild, crazy decisions, and they're doing gnarly stuff.
And they're doing it all on the historical record via their social media, which puts them in danger.
And then they don't know who they're associated. And I get the whole principle of the Adam Walsh Child Protection Safety Act is to protect our children. It's the Child Protection Safety Act. Now, I don't know. I hope to God you going into this, you've read the Adam Walsh Act, because like I said, that's like the Bible for George W. Bush, 2006, Adam Child Protection Safety Act, signed into federal law. Every state has 2 years to implement, or you don't get federal grant money. There's extensions. After 2010, that was it, done deal. Level one, level two, level three, deadlines, you know, registrations. If you're in jail, all that stuff. Yes.
Okay. Is there a question in there? Sorry, there's other people's got their hands raised.
The question was just that I wanted to make sure that the approach was to sort of hit this from possibly all different states, as opposed to just the state that you're located in. And then if the approach is to sort of understand the federal law and sort of how to trickle that into holding these law enforcement people accountable.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I want to respond to you because you raised a lot of important points. It sounds like you're an excellent advocate. You mentioned something that's crucial though, the Edward Byrne grant program. A lot of these things that law enforcement does are tied to grants for them. So the Adam Walsh Act was also tied to DNA testing money for the states. They had to enact that in order to get money to build a DNA database. So there's all kinds of little things like that that have to be addressed absolutely. And then there are many facets of, you know, the ways that the registry comes into people's lives and impacts them that we need to be telling those stories in a way that's effective and safe for us to do.
Are you saying, Megan, that all these old things that need to be addressed, can you talk about one of them specifically that needs to?
Yeah, I think, for example, I'm not totally up to date on this, but if there are, and I'm guessing that there are different grant programs, like the Byrne grant program that you mentioned, that require certain things in order for the states to get money for other things. And so I think that there should be advocacy towards the reform of those federal funding formulas. And I think that we should make that part of our advocacy because that needs to happen. That has to happen. Did that answer your question, Vicki?
Well, kind of. But and I understand the grant money that, and I know how the counties apply for it and they get it, and you can see a list of who gets what. Okay, and I know that there's states. There's only 18 states that have been substantially compliant with the Adam Walsh Act since 2006. But other states do get money because they're supposedly working for it, and you can go to the SMART office. Oxymoron. But anyway, you can go to the SMART office and you can get, see the checklist for each state.
Yeah.
So they're still giving out the money.
Yes.
Because they got them where they want them.
So that is a really good point. So I didn't even know about that checklist for compliance, mm-hmm. but that is very, very interesting to know. I think we could do some things with that information. Thank you.
Okay. Next we have Marty. Oops.
Marty, you're unmuted.
Okay. Thank you, Vicki. Well, first of all, Vicki, I want to say thank you so much for all of your advocacy and everything that you've worked so hard on for all of us over the past several years. I'm wishing you all the best in everything that you're going to be doing for your son now. It sounds very tragic. And, you know, certainly he is as much a victim of the registry as anyone out there because it's taken its toll, certainly. So my well wishes to you and your entire family, and hopefully something can happen positive. Megan, welcome aboard. Thank you so very much. Your position of being someone who had been raped and is understanding the harm that the registry causes and the fact that it's not protecting anyone or stopping any kind of sexual impropriety, it's extremely important. I heard your comments about wanting to ask questions of your victimizer, and I totally understand that because I'm someone who was victimized when I was young, and of course I'm on the registry for doing the exact same thing. I've been very fortunate in one respect, and that is that the young man from my personal case, he reached out to me a few years ago. Myself away from this for a second. That's the two of us last year. Wow. One of a number of times that we got together and hung out and had some conversations. we had a little fun. We went bowling. We had some nice little meals, but we also had some very serious conversations where we were actually helping each other heal, because there is healing on both sides. Now, to the one thing that I wanted to say more than anything else, you're taking over this organization is an amazing, amazing opportunity for the registrant community to have positive publicity. But the window is going to be very short for the biggest blast, and that is that you are actually taking over this group. And I think it would be a very, very wise idea to create a press release immediately and get it out to all the major media. And I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to have to. A rape victim taking over an organization that feels that the registry is harmful to society and needs to eradicate it, needs to abolish it.
Thank you. You're thinking on my level, because that's exactly what I'm planning on doing.
Yeah, I wouldn't waste any time with it, because again, you know, people have short memories, and in the media, they want something while it's hot, and as soon as it cools off, they're done with it. They move on to the next topic.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing.
No, my pleasure. And again,
I'm so happy that you were able to meet up with that young man.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's very important to both of us.
I look forward to talking with you in the future.
Likewise.
I think Kevin, who talked a minute ago, is going to help with a lot of that, the press releases, and because that's his background.
Yeah, and I have a background in that too. So I'm thinking War will be able to do that. And then I'm going to do it in addition to my contacts who know me from like covering my rape.
Good. Perfect.
Okay. I think I need to get off the call somewhat soon.
I think we're done.
Yeah. But I just forever, whoever's still here, and especially Vicky, thank you. Thank you.
Well, and let me just say, lastly, and if anybody else can even say it, it's fine. And I just want to thank everybody that has been with us through this journey, the ups and downs, the fear, the tears. So thank you for the opportunity to be out there and get a message out. Megan is going to be a powerhouse. That's just the way it is. It's going to be. Okay. And doesn't rattle easy. And I just sent her that. But lastly, what I wanted to say is our position on the registry is historic, and that's the way we need to see it.
Yes. Yes, it is historic. This is unacceptable. And we don't need to, you know, dance around reforming the registry or something. This is unacceptable in a civilized society. So okay. I look forward to so much more, and thank you for this opportunity and for trusting me with this. And bless you. Thank you so much.
Okay, Chuck, I think we're ready to end the call, and everybody, there'll be another call in 2 weeks. And I think that Ann Grote is going to be in charge of that. So stay tuned for that. Good night, everybody.
Night.